Okay, we're starting apparently. I'm sorry, I didn't see your signal back there. okay, so quick show of hands. I just want to gauge who we've got here. How many people, primarily ops manager, done ops manager for a while, comfortable writing manager back, haven't done much orchestrator yet? Okay, how about the absolute reverse? Pretty good orchestrator slash Opalis, not so much in the ops manager world. Okay, very few there. How many both? How many neither? Okay, so decent little distribution. Primarily, it looks like I've got ops man people who see this cool, we had this Opalis that we bought a couple years ago. Now we've got Orchestrator, and so we're figuring out how can we use this and all that. Okay, thank you. So my name is Brian Wren. I'm a principal knowledge engineer in our information experience team. We're the team that owns all of the documentation across System Center. And so my personal expertise over the last few years has been managed pack authoring. So I've already talked to some people who have been in my sessions over the years here at MMS, and we've done full-day sessions on deep authoring and managing packs and the whole bit. And so, but the last few months, I started getting involved with the orchestrator team and helping out with some of the content there, and we're looking at, you know, what kind of samples do we want to provide, runbook samples and this sort of thing. And what's been really interesting about that is I've always viewed basically the OpsMan platform as a way to just implement essentially automated logic, right? I mean, I have managing packs, whether I get them, whether I build them. I have all these different workflows in these things that run automated throughout the environment. And you get Orchestrator, and you can really describe it the same way. It's another way to implement automated logic. Very different profile. Certainly when you're going off to the demos here, you're going to see, you know, people are going to be using Orchestrator to deploy machines and provision users and all these activities, whereas the OpsMan side, we're kind of measuring health. But there absolutely does start to get to be a little bit of overlap between the two. And so what I started really looking at is, as I looked at managing packs, now that Orchestrator's in the mix, I started to see, wait a minute, there were real challenges we had in the managing pack world that a runbook completely answers for me. And so I really wanted to see how can we start using these things together for a particular solution. And so to expand on that, the R group primarily has been pretty product focused, right? I mean, I'll talk managing packs and ops manager, this and that. We've got all this orchestrator content out there, runbooks. And what we want to really start doing a better job at, though, is start working across the different components and providing you with some guidance around, look, if I want to build this particular scenario, it includes two or three components. What are some models that I can use? What's some guidance I can use for what to implement where? We're not there yet, all right? It's absolutely where we want to go. There are two things we're going to need for that. Number one is we have to start working across the components, right, and we need to start providing documentation and putting content out there that we can get some feedback on. Number two is we need to start doing a better job collaborating with all of you in order to do that. And so I'll invite you, my email address there, feel free, don't inundate me. I do my best to respond to all. That's also, if you're not familiar, the Twitter feed MPAuthor is one that I maintain where any of the new content we're putting out and all that, I'll announce through there. So if you don't follow that, I'd invite you to. But you're going to start seeing a lot more out of us in terms of collaborating and putting content out there that we're looking for some collaboration on, some feedback on, so we can start getting to that point we want to. And this session really is a first shot at starting that discussion, as you'll see. I just hit the wrong key. Okay, so the agenda we're going to go through, quickie overview of OpsMan and Orchestrator, and really what I'm interested in there is what are the different profiles between a runbook and between a management pack, and which will really start to give us some guidance of what kind of logic should we be implementing on each one. From there, we'll start to look what are the options we have to integrate these two. In other words, how can I have OpsMan leverage Orchestrator and vice versa? How can a runbook call on OpsManager to either go gather some data or to perform some activities for it? And then finally, we'll go through a couple of scenarios using that knowledge that we've gathered. So this is hard, the demo keyboard in front of me. So quickie overview of OpsManager. Don't worry, I'm not going to spend 15 minutes telling you stuff you already know. But very, very high level, just a quick review. This is basic architecture of OpsManager. I realize this is very simplified. One or more management servers, usually more than one. I'm just showing one there. And we have a back-end database. Yes, I know I'm missing the data warehouse. My mistake. I should have it there. All right. But basic ops man architecture. And then we have agents running on all our machines out there. So any agent that I'm going to do monitoring of, I have to have an agent on it. Now, when I install a management pack, right, the management pack contains all this different logic. I'll go pull down, say, the Active Directory management pack. It includes all the rules for where are my domain controllers, what do they look like, and how do I go about monitoring them. When we install a management pack, it delivers out to the agent. Agent processes it, gathers up data, and then, as you well know, delivers it back to the management server where it stores it in the database. I have told you nothing profound there. I realize if you've done anything with Ops Manager, you know everything I just said. But based on that, let's look at the unique aspects of management packs. First off, we specialize in data collection for an application. Most of the management packs you have are going to be for an application, Active Directory, SQL. Even the management packs you write yourself, typically for your custom app, we're typically pretty application focused. And we specialize in data collection. As I often say, and marketing people hate it when I say this, management packs don't do anything. I don't mean they don't do anything. They want to be as silent as possible. They don't want to make changes to the environment. They basically want to sit back, basically as invisible as they can, and collect data. Collect data I can analyze, collect health state, that sort of thing. So it specializes in data collection. We have a whole data warehouse and console built around that concept. The other unique aspect is we process on the local machine, right? So all the bulk of our processing, a machine is monitoring itself and is able to run under local system. So if I have to collect up perf counters, event logs, all this information on the local machine I need access to, it typically is pretty easy for us to do. We don't have firewalls to go across. We don't have too much security to worry about. There's certainly some little exceptions. We might have watcher nodes or things like that. But by and large, we're monitoring on the local machine. And management packs are optimized for many, many simple workflows, right? Some of your larger management packs could have something like, 2,000 rules, 100 or 200 monitors? That's a big one. That's probably getting into the Exchange territory. But one agent may run many different management packs on it. I've got all these workflows, but they're pretty simple, right? Every 15 minutes, get this perf counter, check its health state. Go collect an event. Run a script, check what comes back. So they're typically like two or three steps. Okay. Now, let's compare that to what we have on Orchestrator. Now, different architecture here. In Orchestrator, we worry about a runbook server. We have a management server, but it's a little more just manages the environment. It's a very different role than the management server we see in OpsMan. And we also have a database. But the database for Orchestrator really is not designed to hold information we collect. It's designed to hold the runbooks, to hold our configuration, and it basically collects history. Right, around when a runbook ran, what its return status was. So it's really not a repository in the sense that the Ops Manager database is. When we install a runbook, or when we run a runbook, it runs on the runbook server. If it needs to access resources like domain controllers and databases, it has to do it remotely. And of course, the integration packs that we have give us some features to do that. So if I load up the Active Directory integration pack, I get all these activities like create user, get user, move a user between OUs, and I can create a connection that says, here's where a domain controller is, here's my credentials, and so whenever we run an activity, it can gain access to it, but it still has to do that remotely. So if we look at, let's compare the profile of the runbook to the profile of the management pack. Management packs specialize in data collection, where runbooks specialize in doing stuff. I can collect data if I want. I can go get a perf counter. I can get an event. But I have nowhere to put it to persist it in a database or anything. I could build that. But runbooks primarily, when you go around and you see all the different demonstrations that are being done with Orchestrator, typically they're doing some very heavy tasks. They're provisioning new machines, doing users. They make a lot of changes to the environment, which is really the polar opposite of what OpsMan does. And the workflows run centrally. So if it has to get to a remote machine, it has to traverse firewalls and security. It needs to worry about that. However, it has an advantage in that it can work across multiple applications much easier. It can sit centrally and look at a domain controller in a database and create a single workflow that works across multiple applications, which can be very difficult to do on a management pack. In fact, somewhat a little bit ironically when you think about it, a management pack running on the agent has no access to the OpsMan database. So the agent actually may know, a management pack may know less about operations manager than orchestrator does, because orchestrator sits back there and it can go out and look at alerts and look at health states and the whole bit. And so orchestrator is designed for relatively few very complex workflows, right? Again, so if you look at that, they're a complete mirror image of one another. And so what we wanted to do is, well, let's look at this. I mean, here's really an ideal scenario. If I can figure out how to leverage these two, you know, I've had places over the years doing management packs where I needed to do a complex workflow, where I needed to do basically some orchestration at the back end and correlate information from a variety of sources. Well, Runbooks can provide that for me, right? And then we have ways that we think that we can have Ops Manager also, or Orchestrator also leverage Ops Man in return. So now, based on those profiles, let's have a look at what are our options for connecting these two, right? How do I get them talking to each other? Now, I could have basically turned this entire session into a discussion on the OpsMan integration pack, right? This is the one that gives us activities, and I'll act like I'm keeping a big secret here. This is the one that gives us activities so a runbook can use Ops Manager. And this primarily, when you see these two working together, this is what you're going to see, is you're going to see different activities from the integration pack. And for obvious reason, there's some great value in these. And just to very quickly go through them, and I think I'm going to demo just about everyone here except maintenance mode. Get alert and get monitor allow a runbook to go out and see, for instance, a certain alert. Tell me if an alert is open that matches this criteria. Or go out and get the health state of a particular object, right? And then make a decision based on what is returned and what it's going to do further down the line in the workflow. We can work with alerts doing a create. We can create a new alert. Runbook has a problem. Let's create an alert in response. We can update existing alerts. So we may go about it. I'm going to show recovery in a bit through a workflow. One option may be once we're sure that, okay, this recovery actually fixed our problem, let's go back and resolve the alert that's sitting in OpsMan. And then our monitor alert, monitor state, those are basically going to sit there. For those not as familiar with Orchestrator, one kind of runbook basically sits there kind of like a script. It's sitting there waiting for me. It's waiting for somebody to run it. So I can click, whether through the runbook designer or through the orchestration console, I can start this up. I want to provision a new user. Here's the information about the user. Go. What a monitor runbook does is it has what we call a monitor activity. So this basically, the runbook is running all the time, or for long periods of time, waiting for something to happen. So in this case, we may say, okay, if an alert gets created that matches this criteria, then go ahead and run the rest of the workflow. When it's done, reset yourself and go wait for the next alert to come in. And so what monitor alert and monitor state do is allow us to create runbooks that are waiting either for an alert to get created or for the health state to change. And I'll talk about when I think is appropriate to use each of those. And then, of course, maintenance mode, I probably should have maintenance mode in one of the runbooks I'm going to show. And when I put it out for a sample, I'll probably do that. But basically, right, if I'm going to go restart a machine or something like that, I probably want to put it in maintenance mode so I don't get a lot of false alerts. So obviously, a pretty useful activity. So everything up there, install the integration pack, that's what you're going to get. But there's one other one that I was interested in that I'm going to show a demo on how we can do, which is to start a task. I'm gonna hold off exactly why I would want to run an Ops Manager task. For those not familiar, a task are the things you see over on the side. So like I click a computer in the Ops console, and I see tasks like IP config, or maybe I start the computer management or something like that. They're on-demand actions, and they have the ability to actually go out to the agent, run locally, and send the information back. And so when you think about, and I'll show an example of that, but when you think about that, that might have some good relevance to Orchestrator. Question here.
Can it also do a diagnostic or recovery?
Hold that thought. The question was, can it also do a diagnostic or recovery? Hold that thought. I'm going to show an example. If I don't answer that question, then let's talk about that. Okay? So that's the integration pack. We're going to see, like I said, pretty much everyone there, and I'm going to show you an example of starting a task, and we'll talk about when that's appropriate. Next, we have the Orchestrator Management Pack. This is what gives OpsMan visibility into what Orchestrator's doing. Now, the base management pack is fairly straightforward. It's essentially going to go find my runbook servers, find my management server, make sure they're healthy, make sure my runbook service is running, for example. But it doesn't give us any visibility down to the runbook level. And so what I was interested in is doing some extensions. I want really two things. Number one, I want to be able to start a runbook. I'll give away something I'm going to show in a bit. I have a recovery. I have a health state. Back up. I have a monitor in OpsMan, It goes to a critical state. I would like to be able to start a runbook in response to that. Okay, and I'll show a couple of examples of ways we do that. The other thing is I want to get information. I'd like to discover my runbooks. I'd like to know, for example, look, I have these monitor runbooks. I need those running all the time. If somebody simply just comes up and stops one, I'll get an event in the runbook designer, but nobody's going to be alerted to that fact. And so I want to be able to monitor those critical runbooks that I'm counting on running all the time. So what I'm going to show are some extensions. I put together a custom MP, and I'll talk about, next slide, I'll talk about basically the technology that it uses to do that, where we're actually doing that. We're extending the base management pack. Now, I was planning on putting that out as a sample, but then I went and I talked to my friends. If you haven't talked to the InFront Consulting guys, they're over in the expo, some great guys that we've done some MP authoring with over the years. They've actually got a management pack that does exactly what I'm going to show. Now, I would show theirs. I just didn't have a chance, just as I've got my demo environment together, and you know, I'm already flying without a net on my demos, so I just thought, okay, mine's in there, it's working, let me show that. I've already been through their MP. Not only identical, but they have some better functionality that I'll talk to. But their MP is actually being reviewed right now by the OpsMan product team, and it will be going shortly into the catalog. So this is not just some little sample I'm going to show that maybe you can go download. This is actually going to be provided in the Management Pack catalog right along the base orchestrator one. So when you can, I would totally recommend if you're running orchestrator, some very useful functionality. So again, I'll be showing mine, but when I'm showing it, the same thing that theirs is going to do. Theirs is the one you want to use. So just really quickly before we go into that, get a little bit under the covers, let's look at how do we extend these things. So I'm saying I've got my Management Pack, I've got my integration pack, but I want to build some extensions. So the bottom line, if I want to build extensions to OpsMan, I'm going to use PowerShell, right? We have a whole set of commandlets. We had them for 2007. We've got really the same set for 2012. They've actually been improved just in the way they work in a whole new set of commandlets. Excuse me. And so we can pretty much, any extensions that we need to OpsMan and have runbooks talking to it, for example, in ways that the activities won't, we can fall back on those commandlets. New feature of Orchestrator since Opalis is we've added a web service. And so what this allows us to do, if you're familiar with a web service that returns OData, OData is pretty much emerging as a standard way for us to return data from a web service, comes back in XML. When you install Orchestrator, you'll most likely be installing a web service. Just runs on port 81, and what this allows us to do is access Orchestrator information through an HTTP call. So I can get back all the information about the runbooks, about the jobs, pretty much all the information that I want, and I can perform actions such as starting a runbook, stopping a runbook. And so when I show the, to back up, so there are no commandlets for Orchestrator. I don't have like a start runbook commandlet. But I can do that through the web service. I'm going to be honest with you, it's not trivial. The URL that I have right there, and obviously this will go on the slides that'll be available for you, that URL there is a library on CodePlex. The product team put this out, whole library of PowerShell functions to work with the Orchestrator web service. All you have to do is import that module. Now you have start runbook, cancel job, all of the things that you would want to do with commandlets, you will have. And that works through, basically connects to the web service, which talks to the back-end Orchestrator environment. So really, it's essentially the functional equivalent. So everything that you see happening in the management pack has been done through scripts using the web service. Okay? So let's have a look at that. What I'll do is start off by showing this MP. And again, this one's mine. And pretty much any time you see this MP author, that's the just kind of my label for the samples that we put out. So again, I was going to put this out. I'm going to hold back now because I'm going to recommend the InFront Consulting one. But you see here here are all the runbooks that I discovered in my environment. Now what you notice there, they're not all monitored. I've only got two that are monitored. My logic was, well, I've got this set of runbooks. And do they really have a status? They're not doing anything. So but I thought the ones that I do care about, though, are monitor runbooks. I have certain runbooks that I know need to be running all the time. If somebody stops it, I need an alert. So what I did is I segmented off runbooks that have a monitor. I created myself a group that I could just drop in certain runbooks that I count as critical. Only those ones do I get monitored? The in-front guys, when you pull that one down, took that a step further, where they're actually interrogating the last time every runbook ran. If the last time it ran, it was success, it gets a healthy state. If the last time it ran, it ended in error, it gets an error state. So I thought it was a pretty interesting way to actually monitor runbooks that are not monitored. But they're also doing absolutely the if a monitor runbook is running or not. All right. And then we have here, as you see, I want to go to one over here. This queue length recovery is what I'm going to show in a bit. We have a task to start a runbook. Now, what's a little tricky about that, because you think, well, that's cool. I can just use the ops console. I don't have to bring up the other console. A little bit of a challenge here is the operations console wasn't really designed for this sort of thing. So if you have a runbook, for instance, that needs parameters, we had to come up with a fairly interesting way. And this is the when you get the in-front one, they've done it the exact same way I did, where basically you kind of do a name, value, commas, and semicolons in order to run. I'm not going to bother showing it to you here. I could show you one that's getting called, and I'll show you what that string would look like. So useful to start a runbook from the ops console. Quite honestly, if you haven't seen the orchestration console, this is really a more pleasant way of doing it, right? Start runbook here. There's very nice. I can put in the parameters this thing requires. I can select the runbook service, some more functionality. So in any event, we are looking certainly at adding to the MP and saying, hey, how about let's at least, instead of saying start runbook, or in addition to, let's launch the orchestration console right on that page where that runbook is. So maybe that's the next best thing. We're just investigating how that can be done. Okay. So I'm just very quickly here. So I want to do a quick time check. Okay, we're good. Just to complete this, this is probably uglier than you want to see, but this just gives you a quick idea. This is actually talking to the web service, right? And that URL there, I just typed right into the address bar, that returns all the runbooks. Okay, if I want to know about a certain runbook, I can take this call here. That's the GUID of that runbook. There's the details on just that runbook. If I want to look at jobs that this thing created, I can go to the end and I can say slash jobs. I just randomly picked one, so I hope it had some. Oh, I picked good. Okay. Now, totally cryptic to you. I don't expect this is really when you're doing some development, you start doing this to inspect the data. But this is what's enabling the discovery of those runbooks, and we're doing start runbook. It's all making calls to this back-end web service. Okay, and then so quick overview for those who haven't seen over in the runbook side, and I guess I'm giving away my cool ones here, but that's all right. If I look at the ops man, and I'll be demoing these, so I'm not really going to go through these too much at this point. But this is really my set of activities that I can drag in to do the different interaction with the ops man environment. I'm going to hold that there because basically we're going to see each of these as I walk through the scenarios, and so I'll hold that discussion for that. Okay, so based on that, so we have ways that you can talk to each other. I have a good idea of the types of logic I'm going to implement on each one. So now let's have a look at some different scenarios of basically putting these into action. So when I show these, by the way, just a little bit of a heads up for those that have done either whether you've been here at my sessions at MMS the last few years, or if you happen to have done our Management Pack author training that our PFEs provide. There's a sample application that we use in that. It's a completely fake application. And it's designed so we can just bring the thing up in about 5 minutes in any environment, simulate some errors very quickly and easily, and we build a whole manager pack model around that. And I'll introduce you just really high level of what that application looks like so you know what the scenarios are doing. But that we've provided as an as a sample code. It's out on Opsman Jam now, if you're not familiar with that site. The update's going to be going in the TechNet library, TechNet gallery, and I'll be announcing that on Twitter, so you can know when that's available. But what we're going to do is extend that sample and that sample management pack to include the runbooks. And so Rumbooks that I'm showing now will start to become part of that whole overall sample solution. I actually have some things I want to add to these Rumbooks before I do it, so it'll be available shortly. And what we want to do is start taking that sample and possibly even moving in. Maybe we'll start to bring some service manager examples, but really start to provide some good samples to you where you can go off and really see this stuff in action, right? So start off with alerts. So the most obvious way in all of this, if I say I'm going to make Orchestrator and OpsMan work together, the single most obvious example is to use Monitor Alert. All right, so what this is going to look like is basically I have a Management Pack, I have a Runbook. My Runbook is sitting there. Its first activity is Monitor Alert. So this has some criteria on it. Show me any new alerts with a critical state, for example. And it's going to sit there and wait for an alert to get created on the OpsMan side. All right, so I have my workflow run on OpsMan. I have the alert get created. That gets picked up by monitor alert activity, and the rest of the runbook goes. All right, and there's a whole variety of scenarios where that makes sense. I'm going to throw out two right now that are very common. Notifications, right? Common thing that I've gotten over the years as I worked, but before I came to this group 3 years ago, I spent 13 years out in MCS, and so lots of different customers I worked with, all the way from on 2000, 2005, 2007. But notifications, for those not familiar, when an alert gets created, I can send off an email or a text message to alert somebody to the fact that there's some issue that they need to take care of. And very effective, very reliable, but they're basically one step. Right, I get some criteria that I can say if the alert matches this criteria, and it can be fairly complex criteria, I want you to send. But of course, then I get questions along the lines, well, okay, if nobody responds to it in 20 minutes, I want you to resend. And you know what, I really need to go and do a lookup over, you know, in my CMDB or a database to see who's going to be the owner, and I need a different one based on times. So we have all this different logic that people would want that was really tough to do because we didn't have that kind of flexibility on the OpsMan side. Obviously, we do in Runbooks, and so that's an example I'm going to show. The other one I'm not going to show an example of, but it's pretty much, I mean, it won't be at all hard to extrapolate the example I'm going to show, are connectors. So in 2007, let's say, for example, you have some other management system, Netcool or something like that. Netcool is a common one I've heard of. And we'll have a connector where we say if we open an alert on the OpsMan side, I need an alert opened over on Netcool. And if one, I need those two in sync. If one gets closed, I need the other one to close. So what we've done in 2012 is instead of investing moving forward with connectors, which again are basically one step, okay, we're investing in creating integration packs for these different tools where we can basically they have the similar set of activities as to our update alert, create alert, and now we can do much more complex instrumentation between those two. We can absolutely create a simple runbook that just keeps the two in sync. If I get an update here, do it over here. If I get an update here, do it over here. But we have a lot more complexity that we can integrate that into an overall workflow. So really, really common example where you might use monitor alert. Monitor state is not quite as obvious. So what monitor state does, very similar, only I'm looking for a change in health state. Right? Now, if you think OpsMan, when I change health state, I can generate an alert. So why would I use this? And my first reaction is you probably won't. Often if a monitor is creating an alert, that's what OpsMan does. Management packs figure out this thing's interesting enough that we should be creating alerts so somebody responds to it. By basically monitoring for the health state change in Orchestrator, I'm shifting that responsibility from the tool that's designed to do it. And now Orchestrator is having to make decisions over is this interesting or not. So, but what I did find, and I've talked to some people, what is an interesting scenario, and I'll show a simple little example of this, is what about at a higher level? So for example, we have, let's say these are databases running on a database engine, for example, and they're all a healthy state. I have an error occur at the bottom level. And we could take that alert, and we might use a monitor alert, and we might do something specific with it. But if we bubble up to the top level, we might want to say, you know, I want to take some action based on the fact that this application is down, for example, something up at a higher level, which is general to lots of different alerts that may happen down there. So I'm not sure, as I was trying to figure out a good way to describe that, I never found a great one. I'm going to show an example where it might make a little more clear. But by and large, what we're really seeing is monitor alert is probably more the way you want to go. Okay, so let's go, and I'll do my notification example here. I just want to make sure that something else, okay, that should not be checked in because I don't want it to run. So what this is, and let me give you a little bit of an intro to my sample application because this is what we're going to be working with in order to make this happen. All this is think of a store. I'll take 1 minute and describe this to you. Think of just a retail store or restaurant scenario. Lots of different locations, server clients in each location. We're creating a model where we can roll that up to the store level and then roll it up centrally. Then we have a queuing application. Essentially, we take orders at the store. As those, I get entries. Those are sent up to a central queue where they get processed and then removed from the queue when they're done. And what we did with the sample app is we just simulate all that with files in the file system. Right? Makes it very easy to just go and drop some files and create an error, which is what I'm going to do in a moment, actually. So this is all the list of the queues and the different stores that I have. This is the one that we're about to make unhealthy, and all I'm going to do, I have a monitor that's looking for the number of entries in the queue. If it goes beyond 20, we go to a critical state. So because that will take a couple of minutes for it to find that, I'm going to do that now. Okay? And all this is going to do is, within about 2 minutes, that's going to trigger that. But let's have a look at the runbook I have looking for this. Okay, so what I'm doing here, notice that this is running, opening with a monitor alert. Now, this is a connection to my backup. This is a connection that I set up when I installed the integration pack that carries the name of the management server I'm connecting to and credentials that go along with it. And should I zoom in on that? Are you guys good? I probably ought to zoom anytime I do those dialog boxes, huh? It would help if I did it on the right machine. Okay. Now, what I'm doing here is I'm segmenting down. Obviously, I don't want to look for every single alert that hits. In this case, I'm looking for new alerts that are critical, and where the name of the monitoring object contains that MPAuthor stores, because that means it came out of that management pack. That's the namespace for that management pack. And that's what I want to limit this particular workflow to. You may have a more general one. You may say, I'm going to run all, I have one really interesting workflow, all new alerts I can run through. That's fine. That's what you would create there. But basically, I'm filtering there at to what level, what alerts that I want to run this. From there, in my case, I have to figure out who is the support person who owns this. All right, and this, again, just simulating this with a simple database. This could be a CMDB. We could be going out to service manager to go check, right? But what I'm doing is looking at information from the alert, and in this case, I'm actually, instead of managing my support people over on the OpsMan side, I have a database where it's doing it, because that's very simple for me to manage. But you notice that NetBIOS computer name for monitor alert, what I'm doing is this is a SQL call that will give me my answer, but I have to give it the computer name. And just my table over there has a computer name, and I know who manages those. So what's going to happen, let me show this here. When we bring published data into an activity, this shows, I just want to make sure I describe this correctly. So I mean this get support person here, it comes after monitor alert. Monitor alert provides what we call published data. So all of this different information here comes with, when that alert comes in, any activity that follows this, I have access to all this information. I can see the full name of the object. I can see the description in the alert. I can see the health or the resolution state. All of that information I now have at my disposal down the workflow. So in this case, it pulled the computer name from it, and I use that to go out and get some value. Once I get that, I call an update alert, which says for the ID of the alert that called this thing, let's go and set the owner for it. And I should have taken out custom field. That was me testing, so forgive me on that. It's just putting the same thing in. But what that is, I won't bother expanding that out because it's a little tough to see, but the database comes back with a line, and I'm using a function there field, which goes into that information that comes back from the database and plucks out that username that I need. And so what should then happen is we're going to go back, we're going to update the alert, we're then going to check what time of day it is, because I have a different notification based on what time of day it is, which is another requirement I got a lot. And then it's going to send out a notification. Now, of course, if you notice, if you know orchestrator activities, you're wondering, well, shouldn't that be a male right there? I took that a little further, because another one that I would typically get is, if it sends a notification, but the SMTP service that the thing is talking to, I want to be able to go off and divert and take some other action on it. And so what I did is I created myself another runbook. This is doing what we call invoke runbook. This is saying, go call this other runbook that's actually going to send it. Here's the information that I'm calling into that runbook, and notice I'm grabbing some other properties from the alert that came in, and we're going to send that off to this other runbook. What that runbook is doing is called send notification. Here's where we're bringing in that data, okay, and this is what those other activities are sending in. It does a send notification here, again, pretty obvious, bringing the things from initialized data. And what this is saying is if that fails, I want you to send an alert, to create a new alert in OpsMan that basically says, hey, this is a high-level alert, our notification system's down, and at that point I may have a subscription back on the OpsMan side looking for that alert and taking some other channel. Right. So again, I mean, the specifics you could certainly debate. Hey, I think you'd have a better solution if you did it this way. But really, what's interesting about this is now I can perform all these complex activities, set owner, look up things, all just based in response in essentially a much more complex notification than we're able to do in OpsMan. So this should have run by now. Oh, I'm sorry. This one errs every time because I don't have an SMTP server. So. And I won't go all through this, but certainly if we look at, for instance, at Monitor Alert here, and this is just the history of where it ran, and all of that published data here, I can look up. I can see here's the monitoring object ID. I should be able to get the monitoring object full name, so I'll zoom in on that one as the example. For instance, there's the full name of the object that created this alert, right? Remember, that S1234 was the name of the queue. So I have access to that. I can go pull that out and say, oh, let's go do some inspection on that queue, and that will actually be critical when I show the recovery, right? Because that's the next one that will run in response to that. Okay. And so as you might imagine, and a great way to debug these things, by the way, is I can go into each one of these and find out and basically look at all of the different pieces of published data that was going to send out, and I can look at what published data that ran, it created the last time it ran. So certainly if you have any errors or anything like that, great, great debugging technique. I'm sorry? Question is, how quickly do the alerts get picked up? Relatively quick. I mean, I don't have any scalability numbers on it. It's a good question. In my experience, pretty instant. I'd be interested if anybody has any others, because I will freely admit that I've not tested this on a huge scale yet. So certainly if anybody has any feedback on that, I'd really like to know. And in fact, you raise a good question, because I would like to get some scaling numbers on that, right? What level of alerts, you know, if I'm in a really, really messy environment, very large environment, I maybe am doing, you know, what, 1,000 a day? You know, what number are we going to start to run into issues on that? So I'd actually be very interested on that. It's an issue that we want to start getting some data on. So just to loop back on this, I should have an alert. Notice we're a critical state now. These are all my unable to send notifications because I don't have an SMTP server. But if we look here, we should say that I went ahead and I updated the owner. So you might imagine if this was a connector scenario, I might fill in a ticket ID there that it got from some other system we were connecting with. And I would have the activities for that system. It would go off and it would create a ticket, should be able to get back the ticket ID. I then call the update alert, and I could fill that in. Okay? So what I'm going to do just to set myself up for the next one is I have to delete this. So we go back to a healthy state. My alert should get resolved, and then I need to check this guy in. Okay. So recoveries. For those not familiar, what a recovery does in OpsMan, it says when a monitor goes from a healthy to a critical state, then we can launch some process to try to fix the problem. And so when we first talked about these things, everybody would get all excited. Cool, if a service stops, I want you to restart it. If this problem happens, I want you to restart the machine because I know that fixes it. I spent more time, as you can see, this is a slide right out of my slide deck that I did in 2009. I spent more time cautioning people from recoveries than I did in teaching them how to create them. And the reason for that is you typically don't want to blindly do things. Remember, OpsMan is optimized to collect. It's not optimized to do. And so when you think something as simple as, if a service stops, I want you to restart it. What if somebody meant to stop it? What if the thing is constantly bouncing? Every time I start it, it crashes again. I'm over there keep trying to restart it, and I'm just getting this cycle going. So really what we need, what our challenge has been for recoveries over the last few years, is we didn't have a mechanism to do this good, complex workflow in response to it. The other issue is recoveries run back on the agent, and it only has information on what's on the agent. I might need to do some correlation. In fact, again, as I mentioned before, recoveries don't have access to the OpsMan database. I mean, you could if you did some scripting and callback and things like that, but it wouldn't be very efficient. And so I might want to say, okay, we have this issue here. I want to see if there are any alerts open for other machines. I might need to do some correlation between other problems that have happened in the environment. Obviously, runbooks have access to all that. So I'm going to give two options to automated recovery. The first one should not be shocking to you, because it's exactly the one that I just showed. All right? There's no such thing as a notification runbook or recovery runbook. It's just what activities I put in it. If I was going to do a recovery, I would run it exactly the same way as that notification example I just did. But there are some other issues with that when you start thinking about it. When I think about doing alert notification, I'm usually using pretty general criteria. In other words, all critical alerts from this MP. It's usually a broad scheme. There are a lot of different monitors, a lot of different rules that could trigger this thing. Recoveries tend to be a specific monitor, right? So I might have, if this problem happens, I want you to do this. If this problem, then this. And very quickly, we start to get into some pretty large numbers. And now I've got all these monitor run books that I need to have running, and I need to make sure they stay running, and somebody could accidentally stop it. And also keep in mind that by default, on a runbook server, we have configured to run 50 runbooks at one time, right? And so you start to think, wow, on a large environment, I'm starting to get these really cool instrumented recoveries. You're going to start hitting some limits. And so because they're much more specific. So another solution that we're going to show here is to actually create the recovery in OpsMan and kick off the runbook. So in this case, the runbook is sitting there. It's not a monitor runbook. It's not running. It's just checked in. Same thing on workflow in the management pack runs, hit a critical state. In this case, we're actually going to have a recovery in the management pack that kicks off the appropriate runbook. And we make that call through the web service. Now, both my MP as well as the InFront MP has a write action module. Essentially, the way recoveries work is we have a write action module that has basically the smarts of how to perform this process. And so what we have is a write action module that will allow us to start a runbook. And so now I add into that, right, I add in that recovery. We can kick off that runbook. I handed this nice library of them that don't have to be running. Now the downside, and I'll, for full disclosure on this, this one's a little tougher to do, right? The other one's pretty easy. I just drop in an activity. I tell it which alert it's looking for, and we can go run with that. This one's going to require you to actually write a recovery. And I'll show it's not too difficult. If you've done any managed pack authoring, this is not too tough, but it's certainly something that's going to be it's not going to be as obvious as doing a runbook, right? And obviously, I'm going to show a sample. We're going to put the sample out, and we'll document pretty well how you can do that. But a little bit more effort involved to gain that efficiency. So let's have a look at this one. And this one really, I think, is my bigger example, because we're also going to do some correlation here in the whole bit. So I think we can see most of that. So what I'm going to do here, again, because it takes a couple of minutes, so let me create my error again. I should have double-checked that we were. Oh, I forgot to show something before. Let me show that now. Okay. What I did, remember I mentioned the, my apologies, I forgot this one. I mentioned the monitor state, right? Monitor alert versus monitor state. So in this case, let me show the way that this application works, the way that this model for this works, is we have, you know, kind of your typical, we've all seen these diagrams of object models in OpsMan. And I have this top level for the application. And my alert happened down here. In fact, obviously, this one just might have gone to the error state. Happened all the way down here at the queue level. And so as you might imagine, when that error happens, we're going to roll all the way up to the different objects up there. So what I said is, well, what if I had a requirement where every time any error in this app, this could be a mission-critical application, any time an error happened, I wanted to shoot off a notification maybe to my front-end help desk that they know, hey, there's some problem going on. So if customers call or something, we can at least take, we know there's an issue going on, our IT department knows about it, they're working on it. Well, for that, there's a whole variety of alerts that could happen. Could come from a whole variety of different management packs. And so if we think very generally, what I did here is I did a monitor state, and this is looking that object there, that MP stores, that application, that's the top level one there. So when the critical state rolls up to there, we can actually trigger this runbook. And then in this case, it's pretty simple. It just sends off a notification, just like the one we saw before. And then I have an alternate one here that says basically all clear. This one looks for the healthy state. So again, I think the monitor alert is going to be the more useful, but monitor state, I think, still does have its uses in certain scenarios. It's kind of a way to consolidate the other ones. So my apologies for forgetting to show that one before. So let's get into the one that I was a little more interested in. So what this is going to do here, let me give you my logic. And again, you could debate my logic, and I'm even going to admit that my logic might be a little bit funny. But what I'm more interested in is just to illustrate, obviously, the different types of things you can do. So I say here, okay, I have the queue is filled up, right? I've gone over my error state. So let's think of the different conditions that could cause this. Maybe the service stopped. All right, so if the service stopped, let's restart it. Another issue I have is that sometimes I get a bad entry. If I get a bad entry in the queue, that could lock things up. If that's the case, I want to delete that one, and hopefully this thing's going to go back to processing. If not, I want to try to kickstart the service. Let's restart the service and let's hope that fixes things. If that doesn't work, we're going to go for the catastrophic and we're basically going to take the entire queue, we're going to clear it off to an archive, let somebody know, hey, this is going to require some manual intervention, and now let's get things working again for so the other queues don't get held up. That is the logic that I have behind this to implement. And so to show how this is working, this runbook, I'm actually kicking off. In fact, I probably should show that first, shouldn't I? Let's show how this one is getting kicked off. And I think, by the way, it already fixed itself. So, but you all saw me break it. So you'll know I'm not cheating here. But let me go over here and show how this thing is getting called. If I go to the monitor, and anybody who has been through IMP author training, you wrote this monitor. You just didn't have this recovery. This recovery here is using this write action that runs a runbook. Okay, and by the way, the difference where we have run it automatically, this is saying if the problem happens, go. If I turn that off, then what's going to happen is the user can go and look at the health state, and they're going to have an option there to click where they will initiate the runbook to go. Same thing's going to happen, though, right? It's really just the difference between it running automatically and having a process where we need a human to intervene. But here is the configuration my apologies, wrong button. Here's the configuration that we're providing in. Basically, I'm providing a runbook path. There's the path to the runbook that I want to run when this health state goes critical. We're going to run that runbook, and there's the parameter string I'm sending in. Remember I mentioned that it's a little bit tricky because we have to do it all on one line? And what I need to send in is the computer name where the queue is running and the store code. In other words, which of the queues is the one that's having the problem. And so what I'm doing there is that dollar target, that goes out and it gets the target object's computer. And then we get the store code of the queue. And if you notice there, it's computer name, which is the name of the parameter, comma, and then the value, semicolon, next one. So a little bit tricky, but really when you're writing a recovery like this, it's only when you're writing it that you worry about that. The user is never going to be exposed to that complexity. And then I'm going to freely admit that I'm cheating a little bit with my server and my port. I basically hard-coded where it's going to get the web service. All right, I've already talked to the InFront guys. We've been through their MP. They're being a little more intelligent about it and actually going out and discovering the web service. I was kind of in a hurry. So yes, I cheated. Okay, I admit it. Okay, so but that's what's going to get run in response. And in fact, I'm going to look at, let's go back here, and then we'll actually go through the runbook so we can show how it's done. Notice the alert doesn't exist because we already fixed the problem. And this, I think, should have gone to a healthy state again. And you're going to see how many times I tested this in a moment, which I think is pretty impressive. Look at the work I do for you. Okay. Sorry, I have to drop. I messed up. It went healthy too fast on me. All right, I wasn't expecting that. But you see our response down here. I'm sorry, I just jumped into that and didn't show. I'm looking, this is where we went from the healthy state to the critical state. And we can see our recovery output says that we went ahead and we created that job. Now, certainly, if we did and some of the improvements I was looking at doing is, well, it would probably be better that this said it started the runbook. Maybe let's wait until the runbook completes. Let's give a runback status, because we can certainly send properties out of a runbook. And then I can go back and collect those with the web service. So there's still some opportunity to improve this and come back with some more response. Hey, the runbook ran. It tried to do this. It wasn't able to fix it. We're still a problem. Or this is what we figured out that was a problem. Here's the action that was taken. And so I want to look at firming this example up when we put it out there where we can actually get some better answers back. Right now it basically just said, hey, I started a runbook. I hope it fixed it. Okay. But let's look at the runbook that's going here, which actually has some interesting things in it. So the first off, you saw I had computer name and store code, and that's where those are coming in. That's the first initialized data. And then I won't go through the logic in gory detail, because then I'm just basically turning into orchestrator sessions you probably have already been to in terms of how we can do these different activities. But here we're basically going, go and check the service, and it's getting the computer name for that service. If it's not running, in other words, we can go and look at the criteria here where we can check the status. It's going to go check that service for us, tell us if it's stopped. Then I want you to go ahead and restart it. If it's not able to start, though, I want a new alert that said we couldn't start that service. Right? You may have some other logic. You may say, well, we should send a notification there. Certainly different ways you could do this. What we're actually doing here as well. So you notice that going off to the right, I said, well, what if I start it and it starts, but then it crashes again in 30 seconds? So I wrote a little more logic into here where I basically did a delay. Again, I don't want to go into every single one, where it's doing a delay of a couple minutes, checking the status again, and if it's not running, then say, hey, we're trying to start the service, but it won't stay running. Okay, so just some other logic that you may perform manually that we can get automated. If the service is running, though, then this is where we're going to do a little bit of correlation. So then what I'm going to say here, wait, I know that we have a rule in place. And that rule, I get an alert if there's a bad entry in the queue. In other words, we tried to process the thing, it had a problem, we're going to throw out an alert. So what this one is doing here is saying, do we have an alert that is not closed, that has the name of bad queue entry, which matches the alert generated by this other rule? And if so, I think, hey, that may be my culprit. If that's the case, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to close that alert. And of course, it's going to go and use published data to get the ID of the alert. It's going to close that alert. It's going to remove the bad entry, run a little script to remove it. Okay, and then I'll hold that thought on the next step. I'm not going to show you this script because I haven't written it yet. So, full disclosure, I never hide anything from you guys. The one that I do have, though, is going to be this more interesting one. But if we say, you know what, there are no alerts found. In other words, the alert count, that made it go away. The alert came back and it said it equals zero. In other words, we checked for those alerts, no alerts open. All right. But what's interesting, I want to make sure that this capability right here is huge. right? This, I actually can now do correlation in OpsMan across. I can inspect health states. I could do a get monitor there. Show me the health state of this thing over here. Let's look. How many open alerts do I have? Lots of capability. I mean, that really represents a lot of options to us that I could not do on the agent. All right. But to go up a little further, what we're going to do, if I didn't find any alerts, let's try to restart the service, right? That's always, let's just bounce the service. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to sleep for 5 minutes. Yes, I realize that says 60 because in a demo, I didn't want you to have to wait 5 minutes. But basically, I just turned that into a five minutes. But what this says is I've done some activities that I think will fix it. So let's wait 5 minutes. Let's see if we go back to a green state. So now I'm doing get monitor, where, wait, let me, this one's fairly interesting. Go out, get the state, and what this is saying, I know MP author store, store queue, that's the name of the class that is done with the queue, and it's going out and billing that from the computer name and the store code. Remember, I sent those in at the start of the script. So let's go back, check the state of that monitor. If it's turned to green, we fix the problem. Right? I don't have to go back and recheck how many files in the queue. I don't have to go back and run any scripts. Manager Pack already has that stuff. Let's just see if we went to green state. Okay? If not, hold that thought, because the next step relies on one other thing. Okay? So last point. What about calling tasks from a runbook? So first off, why would I want to run a task from a runbook? And it actually starts to get pretty straightforward. Remember, runbooks run centrally. They have to access resources. If they want to access resources, they have to do it remotely. They have to traverse firewalls. They have to traverse security. Tasks, actually, we essentially talk to the management server, tell it I want to run this task. The agent comes over, pulls over the command to do it, runs it locally, sends it back. One of the favorite examples we always like to show is ipconfig. Right, ipconfig, I can run a local machine, very quickly get all the information about the configuration for this machine. Not so easy to do remotely. So I could actually write a runbook that says, hey, go start that ipconfig task, and when it comes back, let me parse through and make some decisions based on that. So what that looks like, wrong one, what that looks like is essentially the runbook runs, gets to some activity, and this is going to be a script. All right, I'm actually looking at taking the script and using some of our tools to create an actual integration pack activity, excuse me, with that in it, which will make it a little bit more accessible. But when that we hit that activity, we're going to launch the task, and I got lazy with my animation. I should have shown that go off to the, you know, do a little bit more. So it's a little bit simplified animation. But basically, the task is going to run on the local agent. We have a script that's going to wait for that thing. It's going to wait for it to get submitted. Hold on, wait till it gets executed, information comes back, and that data comes back into the activity. Right? And then based on that, then we go ahead and keep going. So in my little example here, let me switch back over. So in my example, I basically said, look, I've done all this work to try to fix this problem. If that was unsuccessful, in other words, I'm going to go get this monitor here. If that is still in a critical state, then I'm basically going to my final step, which is I'm going to just clear this darn queue. Right? I'm going to take all the entries. I'm going to write them off to an archive folder. But I don't have access to that archive folder. That's something I cannot do remotely. Right? But I have a task that has that script in it. Right, so in fact, if I show you that, if I go over to the OpsMan side, notice I have this purge queue. So for any of those queues, an operator can run this task, write the entries off to the archive file, and then clear the entries. Okay. So to give my runbook the ability to do that, we don't have an activity for it. So what I'm doing here, and let me talk through this one a little bit. I don't know PowerShell. At MMS, PowerShell is always safe for me to talk about. I've talked C# before, and people get kind of angry at me. So PowerShell, though, that's safe. So what this is actually doing, This is straight up PowerShell, that import module, that gives me the opsman commandlets. And then I have to make that connection. So remember, with the activities, with the integration pack, I get to create a connection to opsman. My script, though, doesn't have access to that. So I have to make a different connection. So yeah, there's a little bit of an efficiency loss here. So it really, you know, it'd be nice if we could add that activity for it. But where it's getting that management server from is the basically I'm passing that in, okay, and then we're going to go about setting up the task. That there, mpauthor stores task purge queue. That's the name of the task that I'm interested in running. The class name that that's targeting against is that store queue. And then the instance name there, basically the instance name is, and you can pretty easily inspect this from data that gets returned, it's basically the computer name, then a semicolon, and then the name of the queue. And so I'm building that. As you can see, I'm building that from the published data that came in. And then we come down further, and basically now all we are standard, and I know I've done examples on how to run a task in PowerShell. We're just coming down, we're going to submit the task. Tricky because I can't scroll while I zoom. And then what we're going to do right here, which is we're going to say, I want you to then go get the result and then keep looping through until we either get a status that this thing has been completed or until we hit some timeout value. Obviously, we don't want to sit here and loop forever if there's a problem. And so basically, this activity is going to continue to run until we get back the results of the task. Now, you notice what I should probably do here, and I will when we put the sample out, is then look at the end of that. Hey, was this thing successful? Right? I basically, that's the end of my workflow. I'm just hoping. And by the way, it did work, notice. Right? I mean, they're gone. But just to show how we would make that decision, I'm sorry, I hit the wrong thing. If we go into the history here, and we can see this purge queue task, and we can see the task status actually was succeeded. And that's that task status, that's actually a variable that I sent out of PowerShell for that activity out into the published data. Okay? So again, we really should be taking this the next step and then sending out or maybe even sending out some information about how many files got removed or something like that, and then maybe provide that back over into the opsman side. All right? So if I'm not mistaken, should have done that. So, in an effort to not go over, I went 10 minutes under. I have never done that before. So cool. So we have time for questions if you have them. I'll even take management pack questions if you want. People give me those anyway.
Hello.
A notification script that calls a run book. Yes. What you would have to do, right? A notification in opsman, custom channel. You'd have to have, you know, the custom channel. It's going to have to be locally on the disk, you know, on the local machine, basically where the ops console is, and I'd have to kick that off. Doable. Tasks would be more efficient because it's centralized. Right. But yeah, doable.